Well, first of all, I know you recently celebrated 100 years, and you've been married for 75 years. Those are outstanding accomplishments. Are those things that you ever thought you would achieve in your life?
No, I didn't ever think of that because when I was in the hospital out of Mayo General Health, that's where they brought me when I was liberated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was odd. They told me that I wouldn't live past 50 years.
Mm.
And they also told me that if I was married and had any children, and the first one would have to be a boy, then they would all be boys because I couldn't have girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of changed their mind there because I did get married. I lived past 50, and I have 3 sons and 2 daughters.
Well, you've certainly beaten the odds then, haven't you? Goodness. So, Ruth, what I'm sure you've been asked this before, but what is the secret to being married for 75 years?
Being in love.
That's a good answer.
And a good, strong faith.
Mm. So, in World War II, you were a POW for how long? Over 3 years?
Well, I was a POW for 3.5 years.
3.5 years. And how did you find yourself in that position? How did that come to be?
Well, we were in the Philippine Islands, and that's where I was captured. And on Thanksgiving Day, we were ready to sit down to eat.
Mm.
And the general alarm rang, and they told us the Japanese was on the move. And we thought they were going to attack us. Now, the Philippine Islands went on alert. Guam Island went on alert. And Wake Island went on alert. Hawaii said, oh, they won't attack us.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not go on alert.
And they suffered for it, didn't they?
And they suffered for it, yes.
What was it like to be a POW? I almost kind of bite my tongue to say such a thing. I can't imagine it was a pleasant experience. What kind of things would you go through as a POW?
Well, when they captured us, they took us to Japan.
Mm.
We were not allowed to speak English to anybody. We had to learn to speak Japanese because the Japanese couldn't speak English.
Can you still speak any Japanese?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's a Nissan Seago.
Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. So how did you end up surviving that situation, though?
Well, before we went to Japan, they spent about a couple weeks picking out the biggest and the heaviest Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be one of the healthy ones. I weighed about 190 pounds. So when they were selecting people like that, because they wanted them to work in different factories or places in Japan.
Mm.
And then when they had enough of us, they put us on a ship, and we did go to Japan.
Were those times, I think it would be real easy to get a hopeless feeling being in that situation. How did you kind of stave off those feelings, and how did you kind of keep some sort of semblance of sanity through all that?
Well, mainly we just made it up, I guess, up in our minds that we were going to live
mm-hmm.
and do what they want. But a lot of them, out of the they put us in a steel mill called a Yotagalva steel mill. They picked out 400 Americans and put us in there to work. We worked 12-hour shifts. And it was odd because we could not speak to each other. The Japanese were mean. People won't believe how mean they were. I can tell you some of the things if you would like to hear.
Oh, sure. If you think our audience can handle it, go ahead, please.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You can cut it out if you need to. Hmm.
If you, sometimes if something was done wrong, they actually lined us up and beheaded people. And they would, if you were sick and you had to eat or work to eat, and you only got just a small rice ball each day anyway.
Yeah, you must have been just in constant fear being in a situation like that, weren't you?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you adjust after the war? How was your kind of physical body before and after the prisoner of war situation?
After the war?
Yeah.
Well, I spent almost 7 months out of Mayo General Hospital and trying to recover, because when I was liberated, I only weighed 85 pounds.
Wow.
And
you were about 5'10", did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we were liberated out of that 400, there was only about 53 of us left out of all that.
Wow.
And so I was out at Mayo General, and they experimented a lot with it, trying to find out if the what kind of medicine the Japanese used on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't use any at all. That's what killed a lot of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them gave up. And then I'll tell you something that I hardly ever tell anybody.
Okay.
I was laying on my straw mat that night, one night, and something woke me up, and I thought it was the guard telling me to go to work. So I just raised up and looked, and there wasn't anybody there, but there was a voice there. And that voice told me, it said, "You will get out of this prison camp. You will live." And I figured then that the good Lord was guiding me through that whole thing.
Wow. That's an incredible story. How did you end up feeling about the Japanese soldiers after the war had ended?
After the war ended?
Yeah.
Like I'll say, number one general or president was Truman, because he ordered dropping that bomb. And that the Japanese had moved us all in to one location. And they said if the Americans tried to land, they were going to kill us all. But Truman did order that bomb. And I'll tell you odd thing, funny thing. There wasn't very many funny things, but a B-29. We didn't know it was a B-29. But this great big airplane flew over our camp. And we didn't know, because being prisoners, we didn't know that they'd made a big airplane.
Mm-hmm.
They flew over, and they opened up the bomb bay doors.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we called them dirty names.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, they're going to bomb us.
Mm.
Well, they had taken 50-gallon barrels and welded them together, and they just dropped them. And we opened them up, and they had food in them and uniforms and just shoes, different things that we really needed. And one of them had Hershey candy bars in.
Mm.
And we started eating Hershey candy bars. But our stomachs shrank so much we couldn't eat too many. But the guards kept watching us eat those Hershey candy bars. Well, then there was one drum, though. We opened it up, and it was medical supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And in it was a big box of chocolate X-Lax. So we took that X-Lax over and give it to the guards. All they wanted.
Yeah.
And they ate, they thought it was Hershey candy.
Mm-hmm.
But they ate that thing. And then we didn't have any guards for 3 days.
I believe I read that you got a chance to go back over there many years later to Japan. And is that the case? Or you had some sort of conciliatory kind of a ceremony?
Yes, it was. It was a...
It's a Japanese-American Friendship Program is what it was called.
Okay.
And they took our over there. They wanted all the prisoners to come back that had been prisoners over there.
Yeah.
And so... they invited us over in the United States, and those people made arrangements, and we did fly over, flew over first time. And then they asked us what we want to do, and they said, do you want to go to where you used to be a prisoner of war? So they flew us up there. We went up by...
It was by bus.
Bus. And most of that had been torn down.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little of it left. Yeah, people wouldn't recognize it as a XPOW. But we did go to two universities. And those people, when we would see the Japanese people on the street, they would say, why did you bomb us?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know that, they started the war.
Right. Was there a point where you were able to find some level of forgiveness for the Japanese soldiers? For what they had done to you, the terrible things they did?
I did. But we were married, and we would go to church, and we would listen to the minister.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, every Sunday, he'd say, well, forgive your neighbor next door, forgive somebody. And about 3 years.
3 years after the war?
Yes, that's after the war. Mm-hmm. Yes, after we were married. And we were going to church regular. And I had said before that if a Japanese got my way in a car, I'd run over him.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, we listened to the minister talk about forgive. And 3 years, about 3 years, I'm guessing, 3 years later, I stood up in church. And I said, I forgive the Japanese people. It's over with, and through, and done, and that's it.
Mm, that's powerful. We're running a little short on time, but just before we go, I just wanted to give you a chance to... do you have any advice for younger people today, just about anything as you reflect on life that you wish you had known or anything you would say to younger people?
Well, are you talking about if I had advice for military or anybody?
Just anybody. Let's say just somebody that's 20 years old and they're trying to figure out their life. What would you tell them?
Well, I'd tell them, be sure, you know, that you know what you want.
Mm.
You know, don't take a chance and maybe go to college and find out, well, that isn't what you want. And I'd say give it real... careful thoughts before you committed yourself.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Leland and Ruth. I appreciate your time.
Well, we thank you.
Thank you.